Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you. Oh, we are so grateful. We're eternally grateful for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness. And we thank you that your whole purpose was to regain all of the goodness.
Yes.
And your grace to treat us like sin had never happened. And we're so appreciative of it, and we thank you. We thank you for your word all this week on these broadcasts, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in welcoming Professor Greg Stevens again to this broadcast today?
Sir.
Praise
Thank
God.
You very much.
Thank Amen. You. Greg, just as we sat down, and let me remind you that we're talking about when sin is full, then judgment comes.
Yes, sir.
Let me rephrase that a little bit. When sin is full, judgment must come. Before sin destroys everything. Because sin is the work of the destroyer.
That's correct.
That's what he does. He steals,
kills.
He kills, and destroys. Now, let me encourage you. So many times, people will say, he kills, steals, and no. Jesus said it this way. He came only but for to steal what? The Word.
Mm-hmm.
He came but for to steal. Mm-hmm. If he can steal the Word, he can kill and destroy.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said he comes immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah. To steal the Word.
Yes, sir. Last week, we talked about Abraham and that covenant offered those animals. Those were his. That, I just saw it. That was his offering. And immediately, the birds came to try to steal it, And he kept them off.
Yeah, those animals belonged to him.
That's right.
That's his offering.
That's exactly right.
And they came to steal it.
And he guarded that because that was the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord said for him to do that. And that belonged to God.
Yes, sir.
Lord.
Now, just as we sat down to prepare, before we turned on the camera, the Lord impressed me to go to my favorite psalm. I have three favorite psalms. Mm. Number one, the 145th psalm.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Number two, the 91st psalm.
Yes, sir.
Number three, the 23rd psalm.
Yes, sir.
And then I like all the rest of them.
All the rest of it.
And there is, it, this is, this is so vital for people to know. Just take the time to read the whole 145th Psalm. It's not 21 verses. The Lord, the 8th verse, is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies, His chesed, are over all His works. And all the works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. Now the 16th verse. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. That's our God.
Yes, sir. Righteous
That's
in all His
our
ways.
Covenant God.
Yes, sir.
And so righteous in all of His ways, and to be righteous, He cannot be bad.
No, He can't.
What did Jesus say? What'd you call me good for? There's only one good, and that's God.
That's correct.
He pointed, Jesus pointed to His goodness.
and holy in all his works, verse 17. Righteous in all his ways, holy in all his works. And the holiness requires him to do something when it gets to a certain level.
Yes.
But he does it righteously.
Yeah. that's what the Lord impressed me to point this out, that he is good to all. It's not his desire to harm anybody. Amen. And he is so good, but sin is as bad as he is good. Mm. The same God that created heaven created hell.
Yes, sir.
Hell is as bad as heaven is good. God's purpose is to keep everybody he can out of that place. He never intended for not one man to go there. He created that for the devil and his angels. And all that happened before man was even.
And if we're in him, our number one purpose is to keep as many people out of there as possible.
Well, that's it. That's what we're
called to do.
That's what we're called
to do. That's even hell's number one thing. If you read the story that Jesus told about the man, Lazarus, and the other, the rich man, he said, have him go back and tell. Even in hell, their number one thing is to keep people from not coming here.
Yeah.
You don't want to be there.
You don't want to be there.
No, sir. And I'm grateful I'm not going.
Oh, my, my, my. Now, let's go over to the book of Leviticus, where the professor has inquired of the Lord, and that's where we must go.
So we talked about the sin, the iniquity of the Amorite, and I defined yesterday what sin, what transgression, and what iniquity all were last week, and all of those, that there are three different things in Hebrew. Matter of fact, can I get my little board?
Absolutely.
Let me show you something here. If I write in Hebrew this word, and of course, people be able to, that's hatah. That is the word for sin. And very interesting thing, that's the root word. If I add this letter at the end, the tav, to the end of that, it becomes hatat. Now it's a sin offering. The sin offering, the root of sin, there's no sin that does not have a sin offering.
Oh, isn't that marvelous?
But it gets better. Let me write this for you in Paleo Hebrew, because it's pictures. Ancient Hebrew, it would look like, let's see, it would look like this. So this is, if I hold this up here, this letter, and it's a fence. This is often referred to as a serpent in a basket. And then this is the Aleph, where a lot of God's name comes from. And it's the first letter in the alphabet. It's the head. It's the strength. And so the serpent put a fence between us and God, the letters. Mm. Now, I'm going to add that last letter for sin offering, and it's
the cross.
The cross.
Glory to God.
Now, that's long before there ever was a cross. This is referred to as the mark or the covenant mark. And this is referred to, these two letters, Aleph Tav, are referred to the strength of the covenant. So the cross is the answer to sin. The sin offering is the cross. It all plays out when you draw it in ancient Hebrew. You can see the letters for what they are. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing?
The Word of God is wonderful. So he's going to give them instructions about who these Amorites were. And I never really defined who the Amorites were. Here's what we know about them from ancient history. They sacrificed their children and babies to Moloch through the fire.
I remember that.
Nothing was sacred to them. They encouraged men with men. An ancient Sumerian hymn describes the Amorite, it's what they called them. The weapon is his companion. He knows no submission, so he won't submit to you, and he won't take any prisoners from you. He'll just take over. He eats uncooked flesh. They never cooked anything. Everything was raw. They ate the blood, drank the blood of things. And they don't even bury their dead. That's an ancient Sumerian hymn about the Amorites, who these people were. These are the people that are living in Canaan. These are the people that are occupying Jericho. Moses is going to fight Og, who is one of them. His bed, Brother Copeland, was 13 and a half feet long. That's how big this man was, one of the giants. And so they sacrificed babies and children. Now, Leviticus chapter 18, the Lord's going to give them instructions going into their land. Look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. And after doings of the land of Canaan, remember, the original Amorite came from Canaan, son of Ham. Whether I bring you, in other words, I'm bringing you into their land where they're at right now, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments. You shall keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. There's an I am right there.
Mm-hmm.
You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. There it is again.
There it is again.
None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now he goes on and starts describing a whole lot of thing about how we treat family and nakedness and respecting people. But let me show you, let's skip down past that to go to verse 21 and look at what it says here. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Neither shall thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Brother Copeland, I'm going to submit to you in modern days, that's abortion.
Well, I believe that.
That's the seed of man being offered to a God.
I believe
of convenience.
That. Yes.
And he says that is profaning the name of the Lord. It's heavy stuff. Verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. These are all the things the Amorites were about. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all of these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now, verse 25 is very, very interesting. And the land is defiled, because that's where the covenant was made. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity there upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out
that's
her
right.
inhabitants.
That's right.
Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which are before you, and the land is defiled. Now, verse 26 is written to the judges of Israel. And he's saying, you're not going to make any judgments that causes the people to violate this. You're not going to make any rulings that will allow the people to offer their children. You're not going to make any rulings that says men should sleep with men. You're not going to do any of that. And he's very specific in all of this instruction.
Now, where does that put us in this country, particularly the Democratic Party?
Well, we have become that, we have submitted to that spirit because I pointed it out last Friday. We have a 400-year timeline I laid over the 400 years that God told them, which brought us to 2020. Now, something I didn't even mention about the finances of the land. See, anytime the children of Israel would go down this direction because they're covenant people, they were vomited out of that land. They were taken out of that land. And then they would be brought back because he has to bring them back. But this is what's happening. I believe this is the answer to what's happening with the cold spell that happened in Texas, with all the different storms. Global climate change, what they want is correct. The earth is groaning under the iniquity that's in the earth.
It is.
And the waiting for the sons of God to be manifest. That's us.
Yes.
We need to be about our Father's business and heal the land. And so the earth is groaning. So there is things happening in the climate, but it's because of sin and iniquity, not because of your car or your truck or something else. But it's a sign to us that this last battle that Jesus will fight will be the one that will cleanse this planet of iniquity. And we're going to see an earth, Brother Copeland, that's magnificent.
Oh.
As magnificent as it is now,
yes.
We're going to see an earth without sin in it. My Lord. Because it says that the planet groans because the covenant was tied to the land.
Now, here again, let's talk about this. We're not referring to people.
No.
There are deceived people. We are referring to Moloch.
And to the Amorites.
And to the Amorites. The same spirit driving them. It's the same devil. Yes. It's the same devil that was in Egypt. It's the same devil that was in the Pharaoh. It's the same devil. It's the same devil. Yes. And God is the same God.
Yes.
We are not condemning people.
Yes. Right. No.
But we, as people of the book,
this is for us to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's not, you can't look at a Democrat and say, it's that Democrat's fault.
No.
It's the spirit of iniquity in the earth. See, they want the earth to be cleansed and healed, but they want to do it apart from the cross.
Yes.
You can't do it apart from the cross.
Uh-uh.
You can't have a perfect utopian society apart from Jesus, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Amen. It's not mankind's government. That's what gets us in trouble. That's what got them in trouble.
Yeah.
And so it's that spirit of the Amorite that says, big government, they're going to take care of me, they're going to take care of the land, they're going to take care of all of it.
So now we've pushed right into that place where in many, many, many ways that I see, and like I said last week, some people have said, well, you're old school. Yeah, I'm old, and I've been to school. And I've been in this ministry 54 years.
Yes, sir.
I've seen a lot of things.
Yes, sir.
I've seen things go all the way back to World War II and the way things took place and how politics... I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, what is the most dangerous thing to people? Is sickness, disease? Immediately he said, oh, no, politicians.
Mm.
It goes all the way back to Nimrod.
Yes, sir.
Actually, the first socialist...
That's exactly right.
...king. We're going to take away from you and give to him, and everybody's going to be all right. No, that doesn't work. Because this fella has a little more than everybody else. So you go over there and get what he has. Now he doesn't have anything. And so then we use all that up. And so then we go over there and get what he has. And then he doesn't have anything. Then you use all that up. Well, then I'm going to go over there and get... And somewhere down the line, somebody's going to fight for what they have.
That's right.
And he started the first war.
Yes, he did.
Over socialism.
That's right. And it's been that way ever since.
And it has tracked that way down through the ages.
And when I laid that timeline, because I wanted to see what the timeline would look like if it worked, and it worked perfectly, 400 years... And America's 400 years. Something I forgot to mention, around that 1920 mark, another change happened in America that lasted the last days. The Federal Reserve was established right around that same time, which changed our money system and our dependence.
The Federal Reserve, a national bank, nobody, I mean, that was fought by Democrats, Republicans, right down the line. When Andrew Jackson was running for president, and of course he's a Democrat, mm-hmm. and he was running, the man he was running against was a banker pushing for a national bank. And Andy Jackson said, you'll never be president. Well, he said, I might be. No, he said, you'll never be president. We will never have a national bank in this country. You will never be president. Well, how do you know? Because he said, if you win, I'll blow your brains out on the Capitol step. And he said, well, they'll hang you. He said, I'm a soldier. I've offered my life for my country many times. And it didn't happen until Woodrow Wilson became president.
That's right.
And he prearranged it so he had a forum called a special meeting of Congress on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
They're the only ones that showed up, and they put in the Federal Reserve. And even called it federal in order to appease the people, thinking it was the thing to do.
He's also the guy with the League of Nations.
Yes.
Put us in that. So many things that he instituted and that we're dealing with
listen,
today.
Listen, he carried his Bible to the office every day.
Yes.
And he honestly believed he was doing the right thing to do. But it honestly destroyed a lot of things in this country. And we've had depressions and inflation because of it.
Because of it. Because they can manipulate it
by
that. Well, there's another guy that thought he was doing God's will. His name was Saul of Tarsus.
That's right.
And he's running around and he's persecuting this thing called the church, the mystery, the thing he didn't know, studying to be a rabbi, studying the Torah, the thing he missed that he didn't understand, that this kingdom is going to come a different way when the church is established. Yeah. He didn't understand all that. And then he has an encounter with Jesus, becomes the great Apostle Paul. And he has much to say about Jesus.
He entered into a special covenant with Jesus, and Jesus changed his name.
Absolutely.
From Saul of Tarsus.
To Paul.
To the Apostle Paul.
And Jesus, Paul will argue, he'll teach him. He'll disappear for 3 years, and he goes to Arabia. I firmly believe it. I can't prove it by Scripture, but I believe it. When you study, a lot of other little things line up, that he will tell you Jesus taught him personally for 3 years. How long were the disciples with Jesus? About 3 years. Mm-hmm. So Jesus took this disciple one-on-one training. Wouldn't you love to be there? And I believe he took him to Mount Sinai in Arabia.
And he said, in writing to the church at Corinth, in the 11th chapter, or the 11th verse of, the 11th chapter, right there, the second or third verse. I reveal to you what I received from the Lord
himself,
that on the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord took communion with him.
Absolutely. Did the same thing. I believe he washed his feet. I believe he did everything that he did with every one of those disciples. And he taught him about himself all the way from Moses, all the way through. Paul got the revelation of it. We have the epistles because of it.
That's right.
That explained to us Gentiles who were covenantless, had no covenant, without hope. He explains to us what Genesis 15 means.
Praise God.
Why we're not part of the Amorites. Why we're not going to, we can be living in this fallen world, but we're not part of it.
In order to straighten that out for the radio and television audience, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it actually is the 11th chapter, but the communion verses begin in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, I take communion, almost every day.
Yeah.
And particularly when I'm studying.
And you can. That's allowed.
Yes. Yeah. And I go here, of course. And then, and especially in the Gospel of John, mm-hmm. at the covenant meal that night.
Yes.
And then you see him promoted in Antioch. It was Barnabas and Saul.
His name hadn't been changed yet.
Barnabas outranked him at that time.
Yes, he did.
And it's, I believe tomorrow I'll have something to say about this that will further
separate
excite you.
Barnabas and Saul.
Separate me. And then it said, and then the apostles, Paul and Barnabas.
Yes. Change it right there.
And we're out of time.
Oh.
Come on, Jeremy, help us, son.
Thank you, Papa. You know, we're living in a time right now where knowing how to enter into God's protection is becoming so important. More than ever, we must be led by the Spirit of God. We must have God's plan in order to change the culture and influence the world around us for Jesus.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV Broadcast Study Notes today at kcm.org/tvnotes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/tvnotes.
In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Instead of ignoring the dangers of the world or worrying constantly about them, learn how to live in the overcoming power Jesus has given you. Get the Trusting God in Troubled Times package with Kenneth Copeland's teaching, Don't Stress Out, Trust God, MP3, and the Rumors of War's mini book. In these end times, it's vital that believers transfer their trust in the world system to trust in God. Whether it's political upheaval, financial or health issues, or any other obstacle, learn to cast your care on Jesus, your caretaker. Know that victory is already yours according to the Word of God. Speak out the deliverance of the Lord by faith. Don't let the challenges of life hold you back. Live free from stress and overcome obstacles so you can fulfill all God has called you to.
Trusting God in Troubled Times package. Now, this is a timely resource package because there is stress and there is trouble happening across the nations. And as the body of Christ, we must know how to trust God and not be overwhelmed by the pressure that's around us. And in these resources, Brother Copeland identifies our protection in God and how to stay in that place. And you can face trouble and not be agitated by it because you know God is for you. You know that He's with you, but you've got to learn how to do things God's way. He has the capacity to handle all of the challenges, but your part in it is letting God take the care of your trouble. So request your free package today by going to kcm.org. And these two products are also available in digital formats, so you can download them today right from the website. Now, be sure to join us on the broadcast again tomorrow. Brother Copeland and Professor Greg Stevens will be right back here bringing you the Word of God, and you do not want to miss this. Thanks so much for joining us today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Today's Believer's Voice of Victory was brought to you by the partners and friends of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org/victory offer to download or request a free copy of today's broadcast. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.
This is the year of divine healing, health, prosperity, and recovery at the 2021 Branson Virtual Victory Campaign, April 8th through the 10th.
Glory to God. That's where the glory is going to fall next year, is in the local churches that are preaching and teaching and healing and going strong with the Word of faith.
Watch live with Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle right here on Victory. It all starts April 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central.